Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Wednesday, January 31st. And what a difference 36 hours makes for the Detroit Pistons. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at Locked On Pistons. And we got a Facebook page now. Follow and like that at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give us a iTunes rating and also subscribe to us on whatever platform that you get your podcasts as well. Today we'll be looking back at the snapping of the 8-game losing streak on Tuesday night against the Beasts from the East, and also talking about Andre Drummond, the newly minted All-Star. Also around the league, the MVP has an MVP-like performance, and the big NBA news from Tuesday that could be hugely impactful for the Detroit Pistons as they try to crawl back into the Eastern Conference playoff standings. And I've also got some more thoughts on the Blake Griffin deal from Monday, as you would imagine, and its perception in the media and around the league as well. But most importantly, today is Draft Wednesday, so fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app as well. Play in a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPISTONS. Again, that's LOPISTONS. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using promo code LOPISTONS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pistons listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with me using promo code LOPISTONS. We're going to have the draft.com Locked On Pistons room going on Wednesday night. So follow me on the app at Matt Shook and we'll invite you in there as well. But the Pistons got the big 125-114 victory against the reigning Eastern Conference champions of a few years running now, and snapping the 8-game losing streak for the Pistons, who are now 23-26 on the season's 2 games behind the Philadelphia 76ers for the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference. However, keep in mind only 1 game ahead of the New York Knicks. But the Pistons do have all sorts of home games coming up next, and we'll detail that a little bit later as well. New Piston, Blake Griffin, if you haven't heard about that, go back and listen to the last couple days' podcasts and read anywhere that you can find NBA news, as well as the Pistons made the huge deal trading Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley and Boban and a couple picks for Blake Griffin, Bryce Johnson, and Willie Reed. Those guys did not play on Thursday for either team, the Pistons or the Clippers. And Stan Van Gundy said before the game that Griffin and the guys are questionable for Thursday against Memphis, as well as everyone has to pass the physicals and do the paperwork and such. So we will see if Griffin makes his debut in the home number 23 on Thursday against the Grizzlies or not. But in his stead, the Pistons were outstanding. Stanley Johnson had a career-high 26 points and 10 rebounds. We were wondering how he would react to getting the bigger spotlight with a couple of his wingmates being gone, with Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris being shown the door in Detroit. So Stanley Johnson responded well. So 1 game so far, so good for the mercurial third-year player out of Arizona. Stan Van Gundy said it was Stanley's best game that he's ever played as a Piston, and I have to agree with that. So far, he went toe-to-toe with LeBron James defensively as well, who had a quiet 21. So all playing LeBron James in your first game under a new spotlight with the start and all that. So I'd say that's a pretty good start for Stanley Johnson, who maybe is turning over a new leaf in his career, which has been a disappointment so far. Andre Drummond, the newly minted All-Star, 21 points and 22 rebounds. After the game, Van Gundy called the third quarter the best stretch of defense that Andre Drummond has ever played. So a lot of superlatives from the coach, who's in a much better mood than he was a few days ago. Van Gundy's assistant coaches said, according to Van Gundy in a third-party quote, said, the team had new life and new confidence and a new different level of belief. So the trade is flying colors so far for the Pistons after their big move that they made on Monday. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes down a few weeks into it, but a lot of winnable games out there for the Pistons to take advantage of. Reggie Bullock, 22 points. He was great early. Anthony Tolliver, 20 points. He was great after halftime. The Cavs, on the other hand, lost their 11th of 16 games It gets even worse for them as they lost Kevin Love in the opening minutes of the game with a broken hand. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. And, man, if I'm a team out there collecting assets such as the Pistons a couple days ago, I'm definitely calling Cavs owner Dan Gilbert, who is apparently running the show on the front office right now, and getting Kevin Love for cheap if that is possible. Although Love should be back for the playoffs, 6 to 8 weeks should put him out to the beginning of April or so, possibly earlier than that. So he might have a little bit of time as the playoffs start in about mid-April. So might be easier said than done than prying Kevin Love away, especially when his value is down with the broken hand. But, man, if I'm one of those also-rans that's trying to get a good player who might be out of grace in Cleveland, I might be making some calls to Detroit's King Dan Gilbert. But the Pistons back in action, like I mentioned, on Thursday at home against the Mike Conley-less Memphis Grizzlies, who are in a tailspin pretty much all season long. They're one of the NBA's worst teams. And the Pistons will be back in action at home again on Saturday night against the Miami Heat in a game that is against one of those teams the Pistons got to find a way to get past to get back into the playoff hunt. The Cleveland win was the start of a 6-game homestand for the Pistons, including in the start of a stretch where they have 9 of 10 games at Little Caesars Arena. Hard to believe. And that one road game that they do have is going to be at Atlanta, the worst team in the NBA. So all good feelings if you're a Pistons fan on Tuesday night. We'll see how that continues. But some more good news came before the game, as if we found out that Andre Drummond will be an all-star once again. He will be replacing an all-star, but we'll tell you why a little bit later, why he might also be taking that all-star spot in the NBA playoffs as well. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men, what's up fellas, and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted demo, 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to be delving into some more thoughts about the Blake Griffin trade. As if you thought we ran out of ways to slice it these last couple of days, we're going to come up with a couple more angles as well. But Andre Drummond is an all-star. The Pistons center will be playing on Team LeBron in the all-star game in Los Angeles on February 18th. John Wall went down with a knee injury, so it was announced that because Andre Drummond got the most vote points out of the players who didn't make it out of the Eastern Conference, the vote points coming from the coaches in the reserves category, Drummond is headed to the game. It will be his second All-Star game. He's been playing inspired ball since he missed the All-Star team last week, had that huge game against Utah, and then turned into another good one against Cleveland on Tuesday night in the win after it was announced that he will be headed to Los Angeles. So congrats to Andre Drummond for that. He's getting all sorts of gifts this week with the All-Star game appearance and also a new running mate in the form of Blake Griffin in the front court. But now with Kevin Love out from the broken hand that he suffered against the Pistons on Tuesday, another guy will make it. It might be Ben Simmons or Kemba Walker or Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics. Chris Middleton, a former Piston, might be in the mix as well. My vote would definitely go to Miami's Goran Dragic. The Heat have to have some kind of representation in the All-Star game for the season that they've had and just kind of gone under the radar a little bit, but one of the best teams in the NBA right now over these past couple months. And the point guard has kind of been leading the way. So Goran Dragic would be my slam dunk pick to replace Kevin Love in the Eastern Conference playoff contention, but we know it will come down to whatever those coaches voted for a week back or so. So we will see, as it will probably get announced early in the day on Wednesday, what happens there. But around the league, also James Harden of the Houston Rockets, who is my midseason pick for MVP so far this year, had 60 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists, a triple double with a 60 spot for the Houston Rockets, and a win against the Orlando Magic. The Rockets were playing without Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, and Trevor Ariza. So a huge win for them against one of the worst teams in the league, mind you. But for Harden to do that and put up those numbers without some of his main running mates, probably the 2 through 5 or 6 best players in the team, with those three guys being among those group of players. So Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, no problem. James Harden just went off and had a dominant performance against the Orlando Magic. Not a lot of fun watching him play sometimes with all those free throws and the way that he kind of uses his space and just kind of a boring way, the way that James Harden plays. But there's a team that fills it up from the outside and really has revolutionized the game lately, that Daryl Morey has done a good job constructing that team. And they made a big bet on James Harden to be the best player on that team, and he certainly has been. Like I said, probably the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP conversation, which was maybe LeBron James's award to win earlier this year, but the way the Cavs have slid, it's a pretty clear-cut choice, in my opinion, that James Harden is the guy after so many near misses of MVP over these last couple years. But like I mentioned a little bit ago, John Wall, big news around the NBA. He could miss 2 months of action. The Washington Wizards all-star guard is having a procedure done on Wednesday on his left knee, the same knee that put him out a while very early on in the season. The Washington Wizards are another team that's in a little bit of turmoil right now. They are in the, about, I think, the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference race. They beat the Thunder without John Wall on Tuesday, so a nice win for them. But the Pistons are 4.5 games behind Washington. But like I said, 6 to 8 weeks without John Wall, about 20 games or so, including the All-Star break. So a big loss for the Washington Wizards. He figures to be back before the playoffs start as well, but who knows what the Wizards will be facing at that point. Another note on that is that the Wizards have, according to the BPI index on ESPN, the fourth hardest schedule remaining out of all the teams left in the NBA. So the Wizards have messed around and lost to a lot of bad teams this year, and it sounds like they're going to be possibly in a lot of trouble without their best player and leader and point guard in John Wall for the next few weeks. So the Pistons, that's another opportunity as we look at the teams to get in the playoffs. We've got to knock one of these teams out. So the Wizards are ripe for the taking, and there's some other teams below them in the standings that might be falling off. I'm looking at Indiana's direction when I say that, but the Washington Wizards present another opportunity for the Pistons as they try to climb back into the Eastern Conference playoff considerations. Are you a Detroit sports fan? I'm guessing you might be. So you should be listening on to the Locked On Lions podcast, our brother podcast on the Locked On Network. Matt Derry, you know him from Detroit Radio. You should check that out every day. And also check out the other NBA and NFL podcasts that we have on the network as well. But moving on to the Blake Griffin trade, we can't talk about it enough here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Some overall impressions are throughout the media and throughout the national scope is that the Clippers got the best of the deal. And I know we have to ask that question every time there's a deal. What team got the best of it? What team got the worst of it? As if there's no trades out there that can benefit both teams when they're obviously going in different types of different directions as a franchise and different trajectories. The thinking is that they got rid of Blake and Chris Paul and possibly DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams in upcoming moves, and that gives them cap flexibility. Now, they can this summer be one of the only teams out there that can have the cap room to lure big free agents to the Clippers. And being in Los Angeles, that's obviously a bigger possibility for them than maybe your average franchise, although they still are the Clippers, by the way. With possible eyes on getting maybe LeBron James this summer, it feels like a home run swing of their own, and I don't really see that happening that LeBron comes in there. But do you really think that the chance that they are making on signing a big-time franchise player, possibly this summer, maybe the summer after that, who is on the way up in his career and wants to go play for the LA Clippers, is bigger than the chance that the Pistons are taking on Blake Griffin's health? You might say it is, and it might be, and maybe the Blake Griffin's health is such a big question mark that it nullifies that. But I think it's an interesting and a decent question that you can ask, that you can come up with a lot of different answers on. All they've got to show for with all those trades they've made with Chris Paul, one of the top point guards of all time, Blake Griffin, one of the top players of this generation. All they've got to show for it, besides that cap flexibility, in terms of great assets are Tobias Harris, who's going to command a $20 million extension after next season, when the Clippers are hopefully going to start to be a pretty good team again, and the Pistons pick for next year, which is going to be in the mid-teens. And another thing about that pick, by the way, and I've seen this on Twitter, everyone was saying this is one of the best drafts of the decade coming up, but there are maybe six, maybe seven guys at the top right now. You got Luka Doncic, you got Mo Bamba, Trae Young, Michael Porter, Marvin Bagley, and DeAndre Ayton. Those guys are all very good, and maybe you have Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State possibly sneaking up into that top seven as well. But after that, there's not a whole lot there, although I will say I really do like Colin Sexton if you need a point guard playmaker out there. Pistons, I'm looking in your direction. If you ever find a way to sneak into the top of this draft again, maybe Colin Sexton could be your guy. But right now, the Pistons pick that the Clippers would get their hands on, I got to mention, of course, the top four protection that the Pistons have, by the way, but it's at 13 right now. The smart money is on that pick with Blake Griffin coming in, going up to about the 15 or 17 range, possibly worse. There's just not a lot there. And like I said, I think people that want to rip on the Pistons getting rid of that pick, that's something we do. There's a lot of hyperbole about NBA drafts every year. The draft is either the best one in the decade or maybe the worst one in forever, just because it might be a little bit above average in certain areas or a little bit below average in certain areas. We love to throw that hyperbole on it. But especially this point in the season where there's not a lot of NBA fans or NBA scouts aren't being talked to by some of the draft heads out there. If you're not a draft head, you probably haven't taken that close of a look at this year's draft, other than the fact that you heard something that this might be one of the best drafts in a while. It might be one of the best drafts in a while, but like I said, it's in that top six or seven range, and really, barring something unforeseen, I really don't see the Pistons pick climbing up into that top six or seven range, especially with so many teams that have already committed to the tank in what will be the last year of the lottery provisions that benefit the tanking more so than it will in upcoming seasons, when that will be nullified a little bit by the percentages dropping for the worst teams of getting the top picks in the NBA draft. But another thing about this trade, the money. Obviously, Blake Griffin is a huge investment. They've got 5 years on that deal, $171 million. $39 million player option for the 2021 season, I believe. Just a gross amount of money for a guy with so much injury history. And again, this could backfire in a huge way, and we could be talking about this in comical terms in the years upcoming about what this did to cripple the franchise. I understand that completely. But when you look at it, let's say for next season, Blake Griffin is slated to make $31.8 million next season. Now, both Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed, who the Pistons got in the deal, those are $1.5 million a year guys who are going to be expiring next year. So let's say they re-sign those two guys or replacements at that same kind of salary level. Let's say that's about $3 million for them. You're talking about $35 million in salary for the package that the Pistons picked up in that deal. They gave up Tobias Harris, who's making $14.8 million next season. Boban, whose year was backloaded so much, the three-year deal that he got last season, it's $9.4 million next season for Boban. Unbelievable. And that's $24.2 million for those two right there. Assuming Avery Bradley, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, assuming he signs somewhere in the $12 to $16 million range. And remember, coming into the season, the Pistons acquired him hoping to sign him in the long term. So if they stayed with that plan, got him, and the ranges for what salary for what Avery Bradley is going to make this offseason seem to be all over the place, because people talk about him in such hyperbole terms too, where he had the worst season ever for the Pistons, or he's such a great lockdown defender, or salaries are inflated so much in the free agency that he's going to get him a decent amount of money. I don't think he's a $20 million a year player like maybe we would have thought coming into this season. Maybe he's more in that $12 to $16 million a year range. So if you add together Avery Bradley, and I know he probably won't be a member of the Clippers next season, but the option A being what the Pistons had going into next season, being Tobias Harris, Boban, and then the chance for getting Avery Bradley back in free agency, that's about $36 to $40 million a year, depending on where that Avery Bradley number is. So the Pistons are giving up salaries, if you assume that they would have re-signed Avery Bradley, for, you know, at least $1 million more. They're giving up at least salaries of at least $1 million more than they're taking on. So it's not like the Blake Griffin move hampers the flexibility going forward. And now we're talking about Tobias Harris as a guy who that $14.8 million a year next year, that's a pretty good bargain for a guy who was almost an all-star this year. And you know, going into the following season, you're going to have to be giving him an extension of, like I said, somewhere in that $20 million a season range. So as far as what the Pistons did to their cap flexibility going forward, and I know it's a huge number that we put on Blake Griffin, but when you add together what you're going to have to pay Boban next year and what you would have been looking to be paying Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley for the next 4 or 5 years, if you're assuming and hoping that those guys come back, there's really not that much difference in that. Now, obviously, you're talking about one guy and three guys in terms of impact players, although Boban hasn't been an impact player for the Pistons. You would hope that a guy you're paying $9 million a year would be an impact player. Again, you're going to have to fill in the holes a little bit. Luckily for the Pistons, they got Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard to really help out the salary numbers with the cheapness of their rookie deals, and you're missing that next year with no rookie deals coming in terms of first-round talent that the Pistons won't have because of the pick being traded. But the overblown nature of the cap flexibility over the next couple years is something that I think the media is overhyping a little bit about this Detroit deal. Now, there is danger with paying Blake Griffin, who, you know, could end up with a couple more injuries, and 3-4 years from now could be a shell of his former self and could be eating up a lot of your you know, salary cap. It could be up to 1/3 of your salary cap going forward. But in terms of who would you rather have, basically, is the question for the next couple of years. Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley, or Blake Griffin? I think we saw the Pistons this year that Tobias Harris, who is having the best season of his career, and Avery Bradley, who is down for his career but really hasn't shown much in his career to be all that much more of an impact player than he was for the Pistons this year, you know, I think I would go with Griffin. And obviously his health is a huge part of that, but that will be a thing that remains to be seen. So just some more thoughts in closing. And we're running out of things to talk about with Griffin, but we will be seeing him on the court hopefully on Thursday night against the Memphis Grizzlies. But like I said, it is Draft Wednesday, so get on draft.com, use the Draft app, use promo code HelloPistons, join us on there, do us a favor with the podcast. It's free for you every day to join us on there, support our sponsor. It helps us out and helps us get a little shekels in our pocket going forward. So we're going to take a look at those Memphis Grizzlies and some more on the Blake Griffin deal in tomorrow's podcast, but go ahead and follow the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net as well, and give us a rating and subscribe to us on iTunes, and also give us a like on our Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again soon.